I spread a song so you can sing along with my special guest or two.
Or two.
You like to sing and dance, and this podcast, by chance, explores musicals for you. Theme song, yeah.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Life's But a Song, a podcast that likes to live in the land of musicals. I'm your host, John, and with me today is Aaron Choi. And for the three of you that listen to both this and Beards and Sundries Market, you'll understand that reference. So hi, Aaron. How you doing?
Hello. Okay, Beards and Sundries, I know some of y'all listen to this, so especially Jay. The one photo you chose of me for that little graphic that you made is wild, because I never use that headshot for anything. And it's the one headshot that I do not have facial hair in. And I'm like, I look like an aging baby. Thank you so much.
Well, we have to talk shit about them because you and I are contractually obligated to
always.
Whenever we do an episode together, we have to talk shit about Beards and Sundries. But we're not here to actually talk about them because they're doing their own greatness. We're here today to talk about the 1976 film Rudolph's Shiny New Year. Woo! Just in time for the new year. Yay! The screenplay,
2025, new year, new me.
Yes. The screenplay is by Romeo Mueller, music and lyrics by Maury Laws, I think. I couldn't find anything online, but while watching it, I was just like, of course it's Maury Laws, because the directors are Jules Bass and Arthur Rankin Jr. So you're taking away, luckily, about other guest battles is like done with Rankin and Bass, so you're here to take up the mantle on this one movie. And on according to IMDb, Rudolph must find Happy, the baby New Year, before midnight on New Year's Eve. The baby's name is Happy. So this is one of the longer holiday specials I think I've seen of Rankin and Bass. The others are usually like 30 minutes. This is about an hour.
Yes. I grew up with this one.
Oh, yeah?
I grew up with, here's the thing, I grew up with all the Rankin and Bass like specials, of them. Even the weird, obscure ones. Like, I think there's another Santa, there's so many version of Santa, like, yes, Rankin and Bass things, but I specifically remember there's one that I think is an origin story of Santa or something, where they're like in a forest with fairies. I don't remember. It's a fever dream.
We've done that one. I can't remember the name of it right now, but
it's a fever dream.
It has the great auk with the guy with the tree.
Yes. I love me some Rankin and Bass.
Oh, they're great.
Like, love Rankin and Bass. I have a side tangent with Rankin and Bass. One of my dumbest things I've ever done, but I think is very funny. One Christmas holiday season when I was living in Pennsylvania, I didn't go home for the holidays. I just stayed in PA. I got very drunk one night and I had an edible. And this was also when, like, stuff was still technically illegal in a lot of places, but had an edible, got very drunk, and was in our living room. I had roommates at the time. I was in our living room. I was home alone, and I put on a bunch of Rankin and Bass movies, and I was just watching them. One of my roommates came home and saw me just kind of vegged out watching. Didn't say anything to me, went up to his room. And then apparently, like an hour later, he hears me just like screaming at the TV and comes downstairs. And apparently, I don't remember this. This is secondhand from what my roommate witnessed. Apparently, Frosty the Snowman, not Frosty, no, Rudolph, the original Rudolph, the Rankin and Bass Rudolph was on. And I was like inches from the TV yelling at the snowman character in Rudolph
Yeah.
yelling at the top of my lungs, "Snowman, how do you do that? How you talk? What are you doing, snowman?"
Oh my God. Okay, so your story is full of so many layers that it can tie into Rudolph's Shiny New Year. So first of
Oh,
all,
yes.
you admitting that you were crossfade felt
Yes.
like the writers of Maury Laws. Oh, sorry, Romeo Mueller was on something when he wrote this because it just keeps
Yes.
going. It's so long. And like usually I complain about their other ones where I'm like, add some time, please. This one, I'm like, let's
Yes.
cut some stuff.
There is a lot of stuff that could be cut from this, but Romeo Mueller was fully on something
Yeah. And then
when
because you were
this was
talking
written.
about the original Rudolph, which is one that I grew up with, and I think a lot of people watched that one more than this one. I was just like, where are the other characters? Where's Yukon Cornelius? Where's Hermie? Where's the Abominable Snowman? Where's the Island of Misfit Toys? What's going on? Also, what year is it? Because when he
Because
goes
they
to the
say,
archipelago, the sale says is for August 1928. I read that that was someone's birthday. I think it was Romeo Mueller's birthday was in
okay.
August. But I was just like, what is going on with this? Also, Rudolph can fly. Yes?
Yes, but maybe no. Like,
Unless
I
is
don't
Santa.
know.
Okay, so let's get into the science of
Okay.
Santa and the reindeer, I guess. That's where we're going.
So, if I understand all the lore, Jesus Christ. If I understand all the lore of like Rudolph the reindeer and Santa, from all the lore, from all the holiday things that I have seen, I am under the impression that each of the reindeer can fly, but not for that long, that they have to be collectively together to be able to do everything with Santa. Because in the original Rudolph, it does show him doing little bursts of flying when he's happy.
Right. I'm having this.
But
She thinks I'm cute. I'm cute. And he's flying. Yeah.
But not for long distances. And I think that's what makes sense to me is like, oh, they need their collective power as the unit of reindeer, and then Santa's bullshit magic as well to get his fat ass up into the air and around the world. Which here's another thing that I don't know why, but I made a note about this that I'm like, this claymation Santa, I'm like, but is Santa kind of my type? Like, he's a bear and he's roly poly and he's jolly. I'm like, am I attracted to this claymation? I don't know what's going on. It was also very late when I watched this,
True.
but
True. Yeah. Things happen at
yes.
late at night when you're like, what's going on? Is it me or is this the movie?
We're gonna blame the late night and the movie. So,
But with this one, so Battles, again, the one who was the Rankin and Bass correspondent on the podcast, brought up that Rankin and Bass are obsessed with gingers. Because when you watch a
oh,
lot of
yeah.
the Santa Claus ones, he starts off
Yes.
as a ginger. And
Yep.
so in this one, Father Time starts off as a ginger and then
Yep.
has that little like streak of ginger when he's
Yep.
older and grayed and everything else. But Baby New Year, sorry, Happy is a blonde. And when we got to the fairy tale island, I was like, did you make Baby New Year blonde so he can be Goldilocks?
I probably, but also like looks like what is it? Harpo marks?
Yes.
Like,
Yes, with the
especially with the
ears.
big ears
Oh
and the
my God, I
curly
didn't
hair,
even
I'm
think
like,
of
this is
that.
Harpo Marx. And the oversized top hat, I'm like, this is Harpo Marx.
I didn't think of that.
But also, Rankin Bass has this way of making characters look so fucking adorable. Like,
Right. It felt like they were selling toys, but I don't
yeah,
think
but
they
they
were
don't.
selling
They never sold
toys.
toys for this, which I
I mean,
think,
later
well,
on,
yes, yeah,
nowadays
later
they
on, yeah.
do, but I
But
think at the
like,
time they weren't, it wasn't like how it is today with all the merch
Happy
and
is
things.
adorable, like,
Yeah.
adorable.
One thing
Also,
though about Happy that bothered me throughout the movie,
yes.
and I will, and this is a good time to say this. So we're in a world where fucking magic exists, right?
Yes.
But Happy makes cooing noises throughout until he learns how to speak at the end. And I'm
Yeah.
like, you're a magic baby. You are going to age significantly over the next year. According to, wait, what is that song? The Moving Finger
Finger
Writes,
rights, yeah.
where Father Time is basically explaining his life cycle.
Yeah. Which, okay, we also need, there's a lot of like plot holes that are just like
Shocker.
open that never get answered. That I'm like, so like in the archipelago of all these times, like once a year's over, it goes to this archipelago, which I'm like, this archipelago is
It's got to have infinite islands.
like infinite islands.
Yeah.
But there's a like a representative of that year or like the head of that island, which is that the Father Time from that year that kind of
Yes.
takes a, okay.
That's like their retirement home.
Got it. Which
The
I assumed, but at the same time, then I started thinking about like the characters we saw who are the representatives of these islands. I'm like, they were Father Times?
They were Father Times and they magicked an island with
Yes.
inhabitants, like in 1776 when we get the
Yep.
4th of July parade song.
That happens every day. Yes.
Happens every fucking day.
Every day is
That
the 4th of July,
where
which
that
I mean,
one, we're assuming the Father Time decided to look like Ben Franklin.
yeah, flying a kite and everything. Happy,
Flying.
happy stripper pulls down that kite string.
As soon as that kite showed up, I was just like, you motherfucker, if it is fucking Ben Franklin.
Of course, it was going to be Ben Franklin. The minute you saw 1776, I'm like, it's Ben Franklin. It
Got
has to be Ben Franklin. I mean, I knew this even as a child. I'm like, oh, it's going to be Ben Franklin.
Well, the thing is, all these islands are very American-centric. I get it that Americans are creating this, but like other countries exist too. They
Yeah.
follow the same calendar year. So,
Yes,
I
yes, yes,
mean,
yes, yes,
I get
yes.
it with like the 10 to 3. 1023, that's the fairy tale island,
Yeah.
or the one in charge of the fairy tale island. I understood that one because they were doing a lot of European references, and they were obviously talking. We saw a
Yeah.
lot of fairy tales,
Yeah.
but that one was a little, and that one was a little more not American centric, but it was just a lot of America. So,
Yeah. But also,
sorry, yeah.
sorry, Father Time, and maybe this is something that I've just never thought about, but I know that most versions of Father Time you see also has a giant scythe. I'm like, is Father Time also kind of like the Grim
The Grim
Reaper?
Reaper.
Because during his song, when he's sing, like, when you first meet him, he's singing, he's walking around with this giant scythe. I'm like, is he the death of the year? Is that what it is? Like,
Oh. Oh,
I
we're getting
just,
really philosophical on this
this is
one.
super philosophical, but I was
Talking
just,
about the magic of reindeers and now
Magic of
Father
Reindeer,
Time.
Father Time. It is, again, this movie brings up a lot of questions that never get answered. And as an adult, I'm like, I need answers.
We got to bust out the Ouija board then and contact these people.
There are so many things in this movie. So many things.
The one good thing that they did is They hired Billie Mae Richards, who was the original voice of Rudolph. So she reprised her role. And it turns out, I did a little digging on IMDb. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, the first movie, is her first film credit on there. So good
Oh,
for her.
nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Major character. And I believe she did other sequels, because there were a few, I think. I'm not sure on that one. Hold on,
She
let me
may have
check
done
right
some
now.
because Rankin and Bass also went into, rather than claymation, they went into like regular animation as well. And I'm pretty sure they used her
Well,
for some things.
they had a pool of actors, it feels like.
Well, Red Skelton they used for
Right.
like
Let me
almost
see.
everything.
So she also did Rudolph and Frosty's Christmas in July, reprising Rudolph, and I'm only seeing that right now. I could have. Oh, because I think the other sequel is like more modern than, yeah.
Got it.
And she unfortunately passed away in 2010.
No.
I know. But man, she probably did a lot of our, well, besides Rudolph, she did a lot of other properties that you're like, oh, we've heard your voice before. But yeah.
There
And
are
that
characters in this that I'm just like,
Big Ben is a character that I'm like, did we need you? The
did we
whale.
need new did we need Big Ben the whale? Also, did we need him to did we need Rudolph to go into his mouth just to come out and sit on top of his head the entire time?
Listen.
That whole thing was weird, and I don't get it. I'm like, what's happening? And then there's also General what is his name?
Oh, the clock.
Yeah,
That
well,
may
all
or
of
may not
the
be a toy. General Ticker is his name.
General Ticker, and then Quart, the camel, all these characters that apparently work for Father Time, which I'm like, what?
That they seem important and then all of a sudden are not in the movie,
Then they
like the rest of the
disappear.
movie.
Yeah. Fully disappear.
It's like Pua in Moana, the
Yeah.
pig. Pua is around for the whole opening, and then all of a sudden it's Hey, the chicken. And you're like,
Yeah.
I thought the pig was going to be her animal.
Although Pua is apparently a big thing in the second one, so
Well, we shall
I mean,
see.
Pua needs their
And we're
time
recording this
limelight.
way before the movie comes out. So,
Yep.
and this is going to be released after the movie. So we will report
We'll find
back.
out. But yeah, there's a bunch of characters that just start the movie and then disappear.
Well, it feels like this movie was just a bunch of ideas that they loosely strung together to make a movie.
Oh,
Even the
absolutely.
songs felt like trunk songs or
Yeah, none of
something.
them sound like they belong with each other at all.
No, like the Have a Happy New Year is probably the one that they're like, we need to connect it to something.
Also, like, just so does the baby just show up? It's my question. Like, again, a philosophical question on like, where does the baby new year come from? Is it
Right,
birthed?
because
Is
well,
like,
oh, I thought you meant to each island.
no, like, where does the baby new year come from in like the scheme of this whole thing?
I
Like,
didn't
we know that it's a new year, but I'm like, the baby
magic.
happened, like, just like, is it birthed from a clock? Like, these are the things I need to know
Well, and
because
also, why is it around a week before it's needed?
exactly, it's just like, oh, we're taking care of this baby a week before the baby takes over. And I'm like, this just so what?
Sorry, I'm having a disassociative moment right now where I'm actually listening to our conversation on the outside of my body, and I'm like, this is fucking weird. Like,
Oh, this is
we're.
so, well, this is also Rankin and Bass. This is this movie. This movie is a bizarre, bizarre movie.
Well, so you watched this growing up, you said.
Yeah, and look at me now.
But like, do you watch this? Do you still watch this every year, or is it like.
No, I don't watch this every year. This isn't one that I like seek out to watch every year. I have there, I only have three holiday movies that I consistently watch every year.
Mrs. Santa
Charlie Brown,
Claus.
it funny enough, no, but I love
Nightmare
Charlie Brown
Christmas.
Christmas. My brain just fully shut off.
Right, but not this one.
Not
This
this one.
one
It's not this
f
one. Yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, it's not this one. But also one of my other ones is the more recent movie Silent Night. Amazing. I will watch it. I will watch it all every holiday season. I just
Again,
think it's hysterical.
Santa.
Sexy Santa, David
Sexy
Harbour as Santa. Yeah. Any day.
Santa.
Anyway, but
Back
yeah,
to this movie.
I grew up with this movie, and I think it's because, again, I grew up in the middle of nowhere, Ohio. We didn't have cable. We had a lot of movies and things that were taped from TV on a lot of different VHS tapes. And so I would watch
Of
this
course.
probably more often outside of the holiday season than I would in the holiday season, just because it would happen to be on like a VHS tape that had something else on it that I was watching, and it would go right to the next thing,
And you're
and it would be
like,
this.
I'm
It's like, oh, I
lazy.
guess
This
I'll
is
watch
only an
this.
hour.
Yeah. I mean, I was a kid, so yeah. And I was like, I just watched it, and it was a musical.
Kind
So
of. I mean, a
yeah,
lot of the
kind of.
music is from
Is one person
un
singing, is an omniscient voice singing the song for the most part.
or like a heavenly chorus.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like an old Hollywood heavenly chorus, 'cause it was the which one was it? Well, I wrote down What a Wonderful World We Live In feels like a Trunk song, and like them, if God, so that one is on Fairy Tale Island, that
Yes.
and that island felt like they wanted to do fairy tales as movies, but they couldn't
Yeah.
figure out how to make it a half hour special. So instead, they're like,
Yeah.
"Well, we got the designs. We may as well."
Exactly. As a side note, could you imagine a Rankin and Bass Into the Woods?
I would
I
love
would
it.
kill that. I would kill for that. That would be amazing.
That would be hilarious just to see agony
Oh,
with
yeah.
claymation figures.
Yeah. With some of those classic claymation figures, it'd be
But it
amazing.
has to be in the Rankin and Bass like
That's what I'm saying.
style
It has to
claymation.
be the Rankin and Bass style claymation. And that's exactly what it needs to be.
Where you're like, clearly you are spinning. Like you attach the figure to a wire and you're just spinning underneath the set them to be the turn or whatever.
Yep,
Oh my God.
love it. But yeah, Rankin about th this entire thing is a fever dream. This entire movie, but also, my favorite character of all the characters is the knight on the
Ten
fairy
to
tale
three.
island. Yes, 10 to 3, because just everything he says is supposed to sound medieval, and it's just the wildest, like medieval sounding stuff, and I love it because it's not correct of at all.
I may have zoned out a lot while watching this because I was like, I don't. Like, I even wrote down during "Have a Little Faith in Me." I zoned out. Did I miss something?
I mean, here's like I think he's just very. I wrote notes on him because I thought he was so funny, but like he said, "What? Oh, What was it? Oh, Oz Bopkins is one of the funniest things I've ever heard someone say. And that's one of the things he says. So neareth, yet so fareth. He just says he's like just ridiculous, but still probably my favorite character. Just wild. Reminds me of a mix of Scarecrow and Tin Man from Wizard of Oz. Like if you put the Scarecrow in Tin Man's tin, which is a weird thing to say, but that's what it
Journey.
reminds me of. Yeah.
Journey.
So that's my favorite character. A character I could not stand was OM, the caveman. Because Raining Sunshine is the theme for toxic positivity. It's like,
So
forget about everything, just be positive.
when that happened, I just wrote, "Hello, drugs. Nice to see you've made an appearance."
Yes, yes, yes,
Because
yes, yes.
clearly somebody was on something when they wrote that song and they're like, let's keep going. There's a, is it Santa Claus is Coming to Town? There's one, the one Rankin and Bass where they have Miss Jessica, who turns out to be Mrs. Claus. She has a song that is so trippy that it felt
Oh,
like this.
yeah. I mean, the funny thing is, a lot of people forget a lot of these specials were made in the 70s, which is like the height of a lot of drug use.
What? And they're all made by adults. Like, yes,
All
they're
made
for
by
kids.
adults.
So they're
Yeah.
probably like, let's get high and figure it out. See what kids want.
Here's the thing. If there's not a Rankin and Bass documentary somewhere, there needs to be, because I just need to know the story behind a lot of these things. But yeah, OM annoyed me. Just the caveman character annoyed me. I was just like, I don't need you at all. Like, you can go away. And thankfully, near the end of it, he just stopped talking. And I was like, that's fine.
It's just there's so many characters that are not important, and
No,
it's
not at all.
and I get it, this is a quest movie, so you're supposed to have like a team of people with you, but
Yes.
I feel like we had too many people
Yes.
on
And
so many missions.
it also feels like there are moments in this where it felt like this was rushed in a way too, because there's some of these claymation spots. There is clearly a camera angle, and they forgot to change Rudolph's expression. So Rudolph just looks high for like a few frames in certain spots because he's like half-witted and like not looking where he's supposed to be looking, which I find hysterical. Which is what I love about this type of claymation, because it was a like they had to move things specifically individually to make
Right.
things make sense.
Well, I don't know if this was rushed. I didn't see anything about it, but like they were also cranking out a lot of these at the same
Oh yeah.
time.
Yeah.
So if it wasn't
Yeah.
rushed, it was definitely like a lot of things probably they dropped the ball on because they were
Oh,
doing
absolutely.
other things.
Okay, can we also talk that all these this event, this whole thing, this entire movie happens directly after
Christmas.
Christmas of the events of the first Rudolph movie?
Is it? Is it? Because
Yeah. It literally says like at the very beginning, it goes from
Christmas
like
just
the
happened. Everyone loves Rudolph now.
Christmas just happened, and Santa gets a desperate note from Father Time saying, oh no, Happy's gone missing, but there's a storm, so we need someone to like.
So n then my question earlier still remains, like, where is everyone from the
Exactly.
first movie? If it's
Well, they wanted to, I guess they only wanted to focus on Rudolph and then give him more friends because.
but that's the thing though. Like, it's not like it's a different production company, a different directors, different
Yeah.
anything. They own the rights to all those characters. So I'm like,
Oh, yeah.
where are they?
It's possible that they just wanted it to be, I think they probably wanted Rudolph he's that first movie to be fully separate, its own thing, and did not want much crossover into this one, with the exception of Rudolph and Santa, because they're kind of linchpins. So they kind of have to be there, which in the end, Santa's the one who saves everything. So that's a whole nother thing. I'm like, it is a, what did I wrote down? It is,
So then why didn't Santa fucking go on this trip with it, this adventure?
exactly. Why was Santa the one who, like,
Why is does this movie exist then?
the whole reason that he couldn't was because he couldn't get through the storm. So he sent Rudolph with his nose to get through this like time sandstorm, which I, again, wild. And Rudolph goes through the desert of time,
Oh,
whatever they
so
call it.
Santa's the villain here.
Kind of. I mean, literally the end of this movie is, I wrote down a Deus Ex Santa Claus.
Yes, always.
Because,
Always. But like, so Eon, the vulture, is supposed to be the villain,
yes,
but
because he just wants to keep
he
living.
just wants to keep living. So, but I feel like really the villain after this discussion is Santa, but also bullying.
Bullying is the biggest. Shaming a child for something that
For a
they
deformity.
cannot change about themselves is, I have that written down so many times. I'm like, why are you shaming this baby? And
Especially
everyone's
because
like,
it's a magic baby.
it's a magic baby that has been birthed out of a clock. That is canonically what I'm saying. Birthed out of a clock,
Yeah.
like a grandfather clock, you just open it and there's a baby. That's what I'm sticking to.
So are we doing C-sections to grandfather clocks technically by
I
that,
mean,
by your logic?
it's not even a C-section. It's already pre, like,
Well, you're opening it
open.
up and taking the baby out of the grandfather
Yeah, but
clock,
you're not
so
like carving it. You're not like chiseling it out. So
it's fine. Just
this
go
is
with the
so
joke.
much.
Just go with
Anyway, okay. Yes,
the
yes. Fine, fine,
joke.
fine. Fine. We're C-sectioning a grandfather clock to get out the
Yes, I
baby.
got you to say it for a quote.
Of course you're going to quote me on that. Now
It.
you can quote that. Of course you're going to quote me on that.
Of course, I'm gonna
Because I
get. There's
mean,
so many quotes already.
there's so many quotes already. But the whole thing with Eon is also a fallacy of this entire plot, because the whole thing is that at the end of his, like, he's at the end of his life, and that at the end of his life, he turns to ice and snow. But then the reason he doesn't turn into ice and snow is because he's laughing so much at
Yeah.
Happy. I'm like,
Yeah. I didn't understand that.
so does he just continue living? Is there another vulture? Like, I just assumed it kind of became this thing like Father Time, only Eon is over a much longer span of time. But
I don't understand. So according to the logic of this movie and the song The Moving Finger Writes, they start as a baby New Year always, and that's their title, and then they end as Father Time. Or is it just that this one creature is named Father Time, and then Happy will end his time known as Happy?
No, Happy will end his time as Father Time. Happy is, I'm assuming, just the name, like, that he was given as a baby, that he, because you see him like grow up, like each month he grows like 5 years, like
Right.
each or more, to be honest. But it's kind of like, I would assume it's kind of like when you're a child, if you have like a pet name or like a nickname as a child, and as you grow up, you don't go by that anymore. People stop calling you that because you're an adult. I'm
You're
guessing
like,
that's kind of how it goes
okay.
with this. Whereas, like, once he hits like adult time, like once he hits like meh, what is it, like July, August, when he's like an adult, that's when people would start referring to him as father
July,
time.
May, come on.
Yeah,
It
probably
has to
May.
be May. It's gonna
May.
be May.
Yeah, I guess May. May. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, May.
I like how we're talking so seriously about this. But I did,
But yeah.
it is interesting concept because I always thought of Baby New Year and Father Time as two separate entities that were forever their age.
Yeah. Oh, really? Well, I think it's because I saw this movie growing up. I always assumed that, like, the new year comes in and takes the place of the old year. So that, like, Father Time, yeah. So.
Which this kind of takes the idea from Charles Dickens for Christmas Present.
Yeah.
Because Christmas, pre but like instead of a day, it is a year that this thing evolves from one to another, from baby to elder, not baby.
Baby to not baby to elder
To
very
elder.
quickly. Yeah, we're bouncing around on this, but the 4th of July Island just baffles me.
Yeah.
And the idea of it being the 4th of July every day, and there is a 4th of July parade every day.
That's gotta get old.
This gotta get old, unless they're in like some sort of like Groundhog Day situation where they don't realize that,
Or everyone's on
which,
drugs.
or everyone's on drugs, which I mean, but could that be the way it is on every island because it's the same year? Is it kind of like a Groundhog Day situation? Although that doesn't make sense with 4th of July when they're like, oh, we do this every day. It would make sense if, like, the year was a Groundhog Day situation where they went through the entire year and
Right.
then it resets to the beginning
Which I
of.
thought that's what they said, that like once the father times of whatever year it is retire, like once it becomes the next year, they then go to their island and it's the year that they
Yeah.
are.
Which, yeah, makes sense. So if that's the case, then this omnipotent Benjamin Franklin stand-in is forcing these people to have a 4th of July every single day of 1776, which, let's be honest, the full year of
So
1776,
torturous.
probably not a good
Not
year.
a good year.
So, I mean,
July 4th,
maybe
not necessarily a good
not
day.
necessarily a good day.
Even though it did take 3 days to sign the Declaration of Independence, but not necessarily a good day because there's still fighting
Exactly.
happening.
Yeah. Have you done 1776?
Oh, I've done 1776.
Oh,
We'll
yeah.
talk a little more after this,
Oh,
but this honestly, like I'm glad that you also feel like it's trunk songs and ideas that they just mash together, 'cause I was like
yeah.
I can't justify anything.
It feels like a lot of ideas that they had for other things that they're like, none of these are going to get off the ground. We need to put them
Like
in something.
they can't fill 30 minutes or whatever,
They
however long it
can't,
needs to be, 'cause it's a
none of
TV
these can
movie.
really stand alone. Like, I could easily see them doing like they could have easily done like a 4th of July sort of Benjamin Franklin thing.
Right,
Like,
but that
I
wouldn't
could see
have
them.
they couldn't have made it 20 something minutes, I
Exactly. And
think.
no
And the
one
same with the
wants
fairy
to,
tales, same with
yeah.
the prehistoric
I think
one.
of all the things that they could have done, the fairy tales would have been their best bet. But because they spend a lot more time on that island too, like the fairy tale
True.
island, they are on for the majority, like most of it.
Are there two songs on that one? No, there's only one.
No, there's only one. There's only one.
It's just a montage,
It's a montage of seeing all the different fairy tale creatures.
and then we sit in Goldilocks and the Three Bears with the Happy and the Three Bears.
Yeah, with Happy the Three Bears and the sassiest little bear cub I've ever seen in my entire life. He's like, "You're not playing this right." I mean, classic only child
Again,
situation,
if
but
that bear cub can talk, why can't Happy talk?
because Happy is still only, well, let's be honest. Tech, I here's the thing. I think Happy is in this weird holding pattern until, honestly, I think he's in this weird holding pattern until he is reined in as the new year. And that's what kicks off of his like rapid aging. So like it makes sense for him to be this kind of like limbo area of child, baby, infant before he like rapidly ages.
I mean, also, the thing about this movie, which we touched upon, but the whole premise is that Baby New Year keeps running away because everyone's making fun of his enlarged ears,
Yes.
comically large ears. And so the first time we hear about it, we see the flashback, and General Ticker and
And some nursemaid.
quarter past five are in the flashback, but when we meet them, they're never like, we giggled at him and I now feel remorse or
Yeah,
something.
we never get that. Also, let's be honest, the size of those ears would never fit under the size of that top hat, like at all.
They were
At
doing
all.
some sort of,
They got sucked
animated.
into his skull. Like the minute that he put that hat on, they like sucked into his skull because there is no way, no way.
But also, so throughout the movie, we're seeing people make fun of him and everything. And I'm just like, so why is Rudolph the one on this adventure? Why isn't it some other character? Or why? And then when we got to the speech at the end of Rudolph explaining they're not necessarily making fun of you, they just bring joy, I was like, oh, I understand. But still, why?
But still, why? Because it's not necessarily that they. I'm like, you're laughing at something that's this.
Well, because Rudolph has a
Like, it's
deformity as
just.
well, and he's
Well,
used to the
yeah.
bullying.
Rudolph is like. Rudolph's used to the bullying, which is kind of fucked up if you think about it. Rudolph is like, well, like, people made fun of me until I saved the day, and now everyone loves me. So.
Right.
You're going to save the day by being the new year, because if you don't, then the year just keeps continuing. Like, it's weird. Like, the way that it's set up is weird. Also, I think one of the funniest fucking things I've ever seen is when Eon causes an avalanche and traps all of them in little, like, snowballs, which then we find out apparently Rudolph's nose is a laser because it can cut through snow and freeze him from his. His snowball prison. And in that whole thing, Rudolph has a little speech to like the other, his entourage, and he's like, "Have a little faith in me." I'm like, "Rudolph, you're not God. Like, why are you so
And then
convinced that you're the one?"
when Ian falls off the cliff, I was just like, are we about to watch this vulture die?
I mean,
Are they actually gonna have this in this kids movie?
I would have preferred that over, oh, you're just gonna laugh forever at a baby. That because that's essentially what happens.
Touche. Goddamn movie. But if is there anything else you want to talk about before we get into Sharp and Flat?
I'm looking through my notes. I took 3 pages of notes on this thing.
My God.
Oh, for some. I don't, again, this could have been late night, but I'm like, why does the buzzard Eon remind me of B. Arthur for some reason? I
Oh.
don't know why, but I think it was the way some things were said, just the way, like there were some
The
weird
delivery.
mannerisms. Yeah, that I'm like, this feels like B. Arthur.
I think it would have been better if B. Arthur was the voice.
Oh, it would be amazing. Amazing.
So, Paul Frees was the voice of Eon the Terrible, as well as Santa, General Ticker, Quarter Past Five, and 1776.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that tracks because Santa and 1776 sound about the same anyway.
Which one was it? There was one voice that I didn't really like Quarter Past Five's voice. It felt, well, first of all, I didn't understand the design of Quarter Past Five. I was like, why are
No.
we a camel? Same with Big Ben. Why is it a whale?
Yeah.
And then some of the, like, a lot of the choices in this one, it's just like, why? I don't get it. Somebody explain it to me, please.
Yeah. Also, here's the thing. I laughed uncontrollably loud at like almost 1 a.m. in my apartment when I think it's when Big Ben first shows up or when he's running away from one of those. When Rudolph is on the boat by himself and he has to like tries to move faster, so he blows on the sail and is the dumbest, funniest looking thing I've ever seen in claymation. And I laughed so hard because I'm like, this is so stupid, but so funny.
It is so stupid, but so funny. All right,
Yes.
let's get into Sharp and Flat, shall
Sure.
we?
Sharp Flat.
So in this section, we're going to highlight some moments whether or not we talked about it. If we liked it, it's sharp. And if we didn't like it or thought it could change, it's flat. And to no surprise to anybody, after listening to this episode so far, I have more flats than sharps.
I have more sharps than flats, surprisingly.
I only really have one sharp.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What's your sharp?
My sharp is for the time puns. I giggled a little bit at those. The movie is
Yes.
fine. The movie is fine. I will say that. Like, I understand.
It is an entertaining movie if you just watch it.
Right. If you're just watching it.
Period.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sit your kids in
It's
front of it. They'll shut up for an hour.
Definitely great for a holiday thing, like especially that week between Christmas and New Year's. This is perfect for like if you're with your kids or your nephews or nieces, anyone, like if you have children and you need them off your back for a hot second, sit them in front of the TV, have them watch this mind trip of a movie. They will love
But what were your sharps?
it. I thought the set design for these, like the scenic design for all these
Oh yeah,
places
they were
was
cute.
so good. Granted, Rankin and Bass, they always have like their claymation is amazing, but also the like set design for all their stuff is always so phenomenal. Really makes you feel like you're in these places. Loved that. Knight 1023, hysterical. Loved him. And my other sharp is kind of sexy Santa Bear.
Sexy Santa Bear.
Kind of
I'm
sexy
sorry.
Santa Bear. So we're okay, so your flats.
My first flat is for the length of the movie. Like I said, it is the exact opposite reason that I have for their other movies, where it felt like they just added filler and padding. Like, I felt like you during our Wind in the Willows episode, where you're like, cut this, cut that, this. I was like, we could cut a lot out of this and it'll still be fine.
Yeah.
I'm also flatting Quarter Past Five's voice and vocal fry noise. I don't know how else to describe what
Okay.
he was doing, but it was just weird because I was like, I don't understand this character, any
Yeah.
part of it. Like, it's not important, and he's not important, but they put some importance on him.
Yeah.
Whatever. I'm sorry I woke up and chose violence today, everyone. And then my last flat is for the premise of bullying a baby for having big ears.
Yeah, that's one of my flats too. One of my flats is ear shaming. Just
Ear
the ear
shaming, how
shaming.
dare you?
How dare they? How dare they shame this baby that was birthed from a grandfather clock?
That magically shows up to these other islands and never explains it.
Well, they did explain it a few times. Like from
No,
they took
because they say that they just missed him and they laughed and then he left. And you're like,
Yeah.
okay, but then how did you like Rudolph has to fucking go on a whale to
Yeah.
each
Well,
island.
the first one, I'm just assuming he kept taking the, well, at least for one of them, he took the eggshell. He took an eggshell from the dinosaur island and floated to the next island.
Oh, right. And then he fell off of Eon onto the other one.
Yep. And
Onto the
he
stripper
used
pole
his
one, yeah.
yep, he used his hat as a parachute and then grabbed onto the kite
He should
and
have just been like
slid down that.
Dumbo,
I
really.
mean, let's be honest. Yeah, but
If
the
they want to make
others.
commentary on his ears being so big, just make him be able to fly with
Yeah.
them or something.
The others, no clue how he got there, but I'm assuming he's apparently a very resourceful baby, so he would figure it out. My other flat, I have two other flats, is Raining Sunshine. Just hated it because it's like, be positive no matter what. I'm like,
Yeah,
I've worked,
man.
listen, I've
Woo.
worked too much in therapy. I cannot do that. Can't do the toxic positivity. And then that the character who sings that, OM, the caveman, I can't. Like, there's something about that character that just gives me an ick, and I just am not okay with him.
So, OM is voiced by Maury Amsterdam, who is
What
best
a
known.
name.
He's best known for being in the Dick Van Dyke Show as Buddy,
Okay.
one of his co-workers, I believe.
Yeah.
It's been a minute since I watched that show, but yeah, he kind of, I feel like, was it Geico that did the caveman? Yeah,
Yeah.
I feel like they used inspiration from this. Just a little.
I think it was the cadence of the way that he talked that unnerved me.
Yeah.
It's just like, no. But
Anyway,
yeah, those were my flats.
would you add any of the songs from this movie to your life's playlist? I didn't write any down. I didn't.
I wrote two. Turn Back the Years, kind of a banger, not gonna lie.
Okay.
When it's the Turn Back the Years is the one where
He's literally time traveling.
he's time traveling to the archipelago, through the archipelago. Loved it. It's just a fun, it's very 70s, which I love. It's a very 70s like folk song. I was like, yeah, I could do that. And then the Happy New Year song, like the Happy New Year song, which is
You know what? I think I would add
like
that. That's a fun one.
it's a stupid catchy song, and it's not Auld Lang Syne, so I'm like, thank you for making a New Year song that's not that.
But they do sing that at some point.
They do. It's a small insert in the end of the very end of the movie,
Right.
in the reprise of the Happy New Year song. It's like inserted. Also, I love the fact that they refer to the year as 19, I think it was the 19 fantastic or something.
Because they didn't want to. Well, so the sale was for an Easter egg for Romeo Mueller's birthday,
Yeah.
but they wanted it to be timeless, even though you look at their costuming and you're like, this gotta be like turn of the century or something, because they love to do a turn of the century period piece.
Well, yeah. And I'm guessing a lot of those are probably just already pre-made. Like a lot of the like
They went to storage.
yeah, they went to storage, they pulled out a lot of just random like
Maybe touched up
townspeople
paint here and
characters,
there,
yeah,
and then
and
just
they
went on.
put them in there. So yeah, which I think is funny because it also makes me think like, did they just assume that we weren't going to make it to the 2000s?
I mean, Y2K?
Yeah, but yeah,
But Aaron, on that note, we're done with the episode.
we're done with this fever dream.
I'm kind of glad that you weren't like, this is my favorite. Why are you shitting on it? Because
It's not my favorite. Nestor the Long-Eared Donkey is my favorite Rankin and Bass.
What?
You've never seen that
I've
one?
never heard of that one.
Nestor the Long-Eared Donkey is another Rankin and Bass. Even though I am solidly atheist, Nestor the Long-Eared Donkey is about the donkey that takes Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem.
No.
And I think it's a musical.
According to IMDb, it is a musical.
It is a musical. Okay. I don't remember a lot of the music in it. I just remember the plot, which is a little
Chances are.
traumatizing because Nestor's mom dies,
There's
protecting
only
him from a
three
snowstorm.
songs. There's only three songs in it.
Yeah. Nestor's mom protects him from a snowstorm and dies in a snowstorm, supposedly in the Middle East. So take that what you will. But then Nestor protects Mary and Joseph through a sandstorm, getting to Bethlehem. It's a whole thing. There's also, I believe, a baby cherub character that's like helping Nestor along. It's
Yeah, I see it.
adorable.
I see it.
It's adorable. I loved it. It is my favorite Rankin and Bass. I don't watch it every year, but it's up there with like
It came
the
out
holiday ones that I
a
watch.
year after this one. So,
Yeah.
speaking of like them being super busy, always working.
Oh yeah. I don't know if I could do I don't know if I could watch this for this podcast with you with the possibility of you shitting on it because I love Nestor so much.
Okay, fine.
So I'll let someone else shit. You should get Jay to do it. And
Okay.
then I'll listen to it and then
And then you'll be
Then be
like,
unfriend,
unfriend.
unfriend, never coming on here again.
Oh, but we have got plans for you.
We have,
But Aaron,
yes,
what do you have to plug or promote?
I don't fucking know at this time of year. Like, we're,
I'll check back with you. How about that?
yeah, peek behind the curtain that we're, this is being recorded
Well, because you
way
messaged me
before.
and I was
I
like,
know.
I've got plans for other things, but this is
I
perfect for
know.
a holiday
But this is
season.
perfect for holiday. But yeah, because we're recording this way in advance, I have no clue. I have no clue what's going on that will be going on in my life. In my life. As of now, I'll just be back in Chicago, probably at a temp job. Who knows? Who knows? The world is
Slutting it up
my.
for Santa.
Yes, the world is my omniscient baby birthed by a grandfather clock.
I don't even know what to. And if you, if we'd accidentally destroyed your favorite Rankin and Bass movie, sorry, but I'd love to hear about it. You can email me at buttersongpod@gmail.com, us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and Threads at buttersongpod. Should I get Jay to do, let me give it the full title. Should I get Jay to do Nestor, the long-eared Christmas donkey?
Yes. Yes. That's not even
Okay.
a question. You need to tell him you're doing this.
And if you want to be a part of the next episode's conversation, well, we will be closing out our Stars Born trilogy with A Star Is Born from 2018. Aaron, thank you so much for coming back. We'll have you
Always.
back. You gave me
Yeah.
a long list of things that we're gonna. I think I have a new correspondent title for you.
Oh, yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see if I come back after you and Jay destroy my favorite Rankin and Bass movie. So we'll see.
We shall see. Anyone, everyone, thank you for listening and bye for now. Special thanks to Aaron Choi for creating the pod's artwork and to Nick Bombacino for composing the theme song and the jingles. A huge thank you to CastBox for hosting this podcast. And thank you again for tuning in to today's episode of Life's But a Song. Bye for now, everyone, and have a musical day.